News.
This time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check. There we go.
106.7. Ponzi.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
We number only 1 million na Absa. Play your cards right, Muntu Andy, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Chaliro ku, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Suspected PF cadres disrupt Tonse Alliance press briefing. Magistrate orders case transfer if arresting officer fails to produce witnesses in Nakachenda trial. In Global News, trial for former Malian Prime Minister Musa Mara gets underway. Good afternoon and welcome to the Phoenix FM main news at 13 hours. My name is Constance Mazina Mwinga. The details. About 20 suspected Patriotic Front PF cadres this afternoon disrupted a Tonse Alliance press briefing, which was scheduled for 11:45 hours at Palm Valley Resort in Lusaka. The briefing was meant to communicate resolutions of the meeting of Tonse Alliance Council of Leaders and addressed by Tonse Alliance spokesperson Sean Tembo and other leaders in the alliance. The suspected cadres blocked journalists from taking any pictures and videos and threatened violence at Mr. Temple's residence too. Despite police presence, the PF supporters blocked journalists from entering Mr. Temple's residence. By broadcast time, Mr. Temple had not commented on what had transpired. Lusaka Magistrate Mwandu Sakala has directed that the seditious case against Patriotic Front PF faction Secretary General Raphael Nakachinda be handed over to a criminal investigations officer if the arresting officer fails to summon witnesses at the next court setting. The directive was issued following a request for an adjournment by State Prosecutor Changwa Jerry, who informed the court that the arresting officer was unwell and therefore unable to appear or summon the required witnesses. Mr. Nakachinda is facing one count of seditious practices under Section 57(1)(b) of the Penal Code. The charge stems from remarks he allegedly made during a radio appearance on August 21st, 2024, in which he accused government of committing genocide by importing maize and millimil allegedly contaminated with aflatoxin substances said to be linked to the deaths of dogs and an unverified number of people. And speaking to journalists at the court premises, Mr. Nakachinda called for calm amid the ongoing barrio dispute of former President Edgar Lungu, saying there is light at the end of the tunnel, provided talks are ongoing between government and the Lungu family.
Maybe through these discussions we can be able to have some issues resolved, the tension in the nation, you know, managed, so that as we approach 2026, both those and government are sober enough to see and accept that what they have done to PF members and to the former president for the past 4 years, most of it was unjust and unjustified, and to that effect, that must be stopped. So I think there are reasonable demands and also areas of negotiation.
PricewaterhouseCoopers PwC senior partner Andrew Chuye has described the 2026 national budget as a turning point in the country's approach to financial management. Speaking during a post-budget analysis in Lusaka this morning, Mr. Chuye says the 2026 national budget is showing strong signs of fiscal restraint, economic maturity, and long-term planning. Mr. Chibuya notes that the sharp drop in the fiscal deficit target down to just 2.1% of gross domestic product, GDP, is a key indicator that government is serious about living within its means. He says the shift is already helping to stabilize stabilize economic growth, which is forecast to reach 6.4% next year. Mr. Chibuya says despite tight spending, the budget still prioritizes support for vulnerable households, such as social protection programs, which include cash for work and social transfers, remaining fully funded.
If you look at the domestic borrowing in the total budget, so the domestic borrowing is only for 21.6 billion, it's 10%. What am I saying here? Recap. Government needs to pay out into the market 52 billion. From the same market, only intends to borrow 21 billion. Very commendable. It's telling you that even at a time when there's significant pressure coming from the domestic market itself, government is keen to remain constrained. So someone would say, you know, when you borrow 52, why don't you just refinance the whole 52, right, from the local market?
Secretary to the Cabinet, Patrick Kangwa, has directed all ministries, provinces and other spending agencies to commence the procurement of electric and hybrid vehicles. Speaking at the 6th Senior Public Service Management meeting for Cabinet Office in Lusaka this morning, Mr. Kangwa further directed the Ministries of Energy, Transport and Logistics and other relevant institutions to implement the provision of electric charging points and fast chargers to enable the smooth operation of electric vehicles. Mr. Kangwa believes the inclusion of electric and hybrid vehicles in the government transport policy is a forward-thinking and innovative solution to cost-effective alternatives and reduce expenditure on imported fuel. He noted that the resulting savings could then be redirected towards other critical and underfunded areas.
I was encouraged to learn that in a meeting held on 30th August 2025, one of the key proposals discussed was that the procurement of electric and hybrid vehicles should be considered for inclusion in the government transport policy. This, I believe you will agree, is a forward-thinking and innovative solution. Not only does it present a cost-effective alternative, but it also has the potential to significantly reduce expenditure on imported fuel. The resulting savings could then be redirected towards other critical and underfunded areas.
We move on to global news. The trial of former Malian Prime Minister Moussa Mara has commenced at the cybercrime court in the capital. He has been charged with undermining the credibility of the state, opposing legitimate authority and inciting public disorder. This follows comments Mara made in July on social media after visiting detained opposition figures in jail. The BBC reports on other world news stories.
Palestinian sources say Hamas has begun a series of consultations to work out a position on President Trump's peace plan for Gaza, which calls for an immediate end to the fighting and the release of all hostages. Hamas would have to disarm. Leading Arab nations have urged Hamas to accept. Rescue workers in Indonesia are using heavy equipment to locate more than 30 students feared trapped after a school building in East Java collapsed during afternoon prayers. Three students are dead. There's severe disruption across Afghanistan a day after the Taliban authorities shut down the internet. Mobile phone services are down, many flights have been cancelled, and businesses are struggling to operate.
We now take a quick break. We'll return shortly. To stay tuned.
A whole new flight for radio.
And now for business news.
The Business News is brought to you by F&B. Health changes everything.
The 2026 presidential aspirant, Dolly Kabanda, has proposed rebalancing Zambia's mineral royalty tax to ensure Zambians fully benefit from the mining sector. Ms. Banda is advocating for reviewing the current mineral royalty regime to capture more value from the country's mineral resources. In an interview with Phoenix Business News, Ms. Banda warns that adjusting royalties alone may not be sufficient to deliver broader national gains and suggests a wider policy discussion to explore alternatives to taxation, including mechanisms that promote local value addition, domestic participation in ownership, and other forms of value capture. She believes that failing to strike a balance on mineral royalty taxes will continue to hit